from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI Studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station. Patriots Friday on WEEI is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and by FindMassMoney.gov.
Gerard had mentioned earlier this week that just between joint practice and this game, it could be good for building your confidence. I'm just wondering where your confidence is now after tonight.
Yeah, I think every time you get out there, I think you kind of get more and more confident. You know, first off, you know, it's always going to be the nerves, you know, going out there, running out there the first time. But other than that, yeah, I think, you know, the more reps, I think it's only going to help me. And at the end of the day, I'm just, you know, fortunate to be able to get out there and get some reps and try to make the most of my opportunities.
Drake May, the man of the hour after the game last night. It's Christian Arcand here, in for Jones, Jones and Mego. Jones out tonight. He'll be out Monday as well. But you got us, and you'll have us for Patriots Monday also when we come back. And we'll also be talking with Jacoby Brissett on Monday, which we're looking forward to. Not Drake May. That's a decision that the team has made already, although I guess that could be subject to change. I don't think it's going to change. I think we're still going to get Brissett. And I think as far as the team's concerned right now, it's still Brissett's ball on week one.
Sure seems that way. And I don't think that's what a lot of fans want. Could be wrong. 617-779-7937. I know that Gerard Mayo, after the game, said it's a competition and he has to beat Brissett. He's got to be better than Jacoby Brissett. And this morning he says again, it's a competition. You know, whoever's best is going to play week one. That's just not the way that they've really been playing it. Because all the reports coming out of practice, training camp, preseason have been Drake May doesn't really run with the ones. And Drake May looks great in sevens, but then when you get on 11v11 scenarios, doesn't hold up. He's getting sacked as much, if not more, than Jacoby Brissett. And Jacoby Brissett kind of has that position by default because he's the veteran who you brought in to at least be the stopgap. So I think they're still going to roll with that. And I think maybe they were pleasantly surprised by how polished, composed, professional Drake May was last night in the game. I certainly was, and I have high expectations for him. But I still feel that with 3 weeks left to week one, the plan is probably to still start Jacoby Brissett week one. And maybe earliest you see Drake May is in that week 5-6 span when they're at home for back-to-back games.
Yeah, I think that if you continue to see what we saw last night going forward, if you see May outplay Brissett to that extent, and it wasn't even so much that May was so great. I mean, we both agree, like, he was good. He wasn't great. He didn't completely light it up out there.
He was a B+.
If Baker had hauled that one in, we'd be saying different things today, but he didn't. So, I mean, you know, if your aunt had whatever, she'd be your uncle. So I think that, you know, we understand that that's not the way it
if
was.
If she decided to be.
Right. So that to me is indicative of not just, you know, May and his step forward that he took, but also the fact that Brissett didn't look right out there at all. I mean, he had happy feet. He had a terrible interception. He didn't seem like he was really in control of the offense, and he was going against, you know, the second team, at least there with the Eagles, some of their defensive starters, not many of them, I don't think. And May wasn't, but I still think even with that, even knowing that, there were some times where the pocket started to collapse on Drake May, and he maneuvered around it. On his big bomb that Baker dropped, that pocket was collapsing inward. He moved to his left, threw across his body to the right, and dropped a dime right there that he couldn't hang on to. There was a couple other throws like that, too, where he wasn't necessarily, had his feet set or anything, and he still was able to, you know, turn, get the ball there, and make a throw. He didn't have any really, really bad ones. The worst throw I think he had in the entire game was that one Booty caught one-handed in the flat there, which he airmailed, and Booty still got up and caught it, which I was impressed by the way. It counted for some points. Since mostly, other than that, he had the one completion of the tight end, who should not be wearing 87, by the way, whatever his name is, Wilcox, and pretty much everything else, it seemed like he was looking at Baker or was a screen to a running back. So he's already kind of developed some things with Baker, to be sure, and I think it's starting to come together. I mean, you didn't see a bunch of connections there or anything, but it seems like you're starting to see that confidence build with another one of his rookies and, you know, one of his, I think, going to be primary pass catchers.
And listen to him in that clip there. He says, the more reps I get, the more confident I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Like, he has had so little experience. Okay, he's 21 years old. He's kind of played very limited in college compared to somebody like Jaden Daniels, who they'll see 10 days from now down in Washington, D.C. Like, totally different scenario for him. This is the time when you should be putting him with the ones. He should have been there already in training camp. He should have been there already in practice. In joint practice, you only have one joint practice and the other practices. But this is the line that they're walking, because this is Jerod Mayo, to some extent, Alex Van Pelt calling plays for the first time, the front office all being in their jobs for the first time, and they do have to field a professional football team. And they don't want to look at totally embarrassing in the first month, but you have to ask yourself, what is the season really about? Is the season about you're trying to win six games and be better than you were last year, and proof that it was the right thing to move on from Bill Belichick and that Jerod Mayo is the coach of the future and everybody should keep their jobs? Or is it about developing the young talent on your team, including the quarterback, but also the wide receivers who you drafted, and trying to build some hope towards something offensively, which you really haven't had since Tom Brady left, except for that blip in 21.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And with a lot of these quarterbacks, you can tell right away if they're at least ready to be out there. With a lot of wide receivers, even guys who were drafted in the second and third rounds recently, most of those guys who got drafted in the N'Keal Harry draft, you knew they were going to be good right away. I mean, you could tell right away Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown, all these guys are going to be good. So I think that there's something to that. It's not often that you see them all together with a rookie quarterback, too, rebuilding your offense in the first year through the draft like this. That's unusual. Mac Jones, at the very least, had the benefit of coming in as a rookie and having the offense be rebuilt with free agents, and I think that that made a difference. I mean, that was experience there. That was guys that already sort of knew and could bring them along a little bit, along with the offensive coordinator who'd had some success. It's not apples to apples, to be sure, but I think that, in general, this team is so scared, petrified, of ruining Drake May. Not exactly the same way they ruined Mac Jones, but ruining him at all.
In a new creative way that we haven't even thought of.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows? There's a million ways to ruin a quarterback, I'm sure. They'll probably get to a few of them. But like,
and they've set themselves up for it with Vidarian Lowe and the rest of the offensive line, excluding David Andrews and Mike Onwenu.
That's a great point. You know, it's a great point. If this was something you were so scared of, if you were so scared of ruining this quarterback, why didn't you surround him with talent? Why didn't you surround him with players, at the very least, who you felt like were professional offensive linemen on the ends there who are going to protect his blind side? One guy. We weren't asking for the moon. We were asking for one free agent wide receiver who's done something ever in his career. That's it. And you couldn't do that. I mean, like, you know, you couldn't trade for anybody and extend him. You just weren't interested in it. And I feel like for a team and an organization that is so concerned about ruining their quarterback and putting him out there too fast, if you were so concerned about it, why didn't you put better players around them? Because I got news for you. Jacoby Brissett, if the offensive line is this bad, Jacoby Brissett could be out of here by week two. All right? We're worried about Drake May getting killed. What if Jacoby Brissett gets killed out there with this line? Then you have to play Drake May. Then you have to. And he still has the same crappy options and the same crappy tackles. And he's going to be in the same position as Brissett, except he's a little bit better of a player.
And
we hope.
It's not like Brissett is somebody, especially at this point in his career, who's set up to be running for his life and creating things.
Right.
When he's playing quarterback. So I don't really see like how he's going to fix or make up for the situation of your offensive line. If you got Drake May out there, like a part of me, of course, I understand wanting to protect the asset that he is and the potential that he has, but he's also a much more mobile guy. I don't want him out there running for his life, but at least he can run.
Yeah.
Brissett's not going to run. He's going to take the sack. That's what he's always done. That's who he is.
It's true. He had one season where he got like sacked like 85 times. That was with a better offensive line than he has now, which is unfortunate. I guess the time will tell on that one, but we'll see how many opportunities he even has to get sacked that much. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have Megsplaining on a Friday coming up, and you know what that means. It's Friday, which means
the Relationship Roundtable.
Yes.
We will sit down to the Relationship Roundtable. This is where we take your problems in your love life, listeners. And
we make them our problems.
Oh, we've got a very detailed one that we're going to get into, and we're going to try to advise here.
Very detailed,
I'm kind
huh?
of worried that this person has already made a decision because they sent me this a couple days ago, and I hope that we still have time that we can give a little advice here because I think we need to diffuse the situation.
Okay. Well, either way, that's coming up at 5:30. But first, here's Ryan Garvin to tell you what's trending.
Sports talk in perfect harmony.
Why you punish me?
This is Jones and Mego. On WEEI.
Couser swings and blasts one to deep center field. Duran back to the wall, turns around and has to play it off the fence. Digs it off the warning track, fires back into the cutoff man. Gonzalez coming home, play at the plate, not inside. Wall ball double for Colton Couser, the rookie of the year favorite. They finally get to Sugar, and it's 5-1 Baltimore. They are mooing it in Baltimore for Colton Couser.
I got to hand it to the Baltimore fans. That mooing for Couser thing, I'm into it. I like it.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I like it. If we had a guy with a cow name on the Red Sox, I would advocate for mooing when he did something good too. I would advocate for that 100%. I think that is a quality way of expressing appreciation for a guy named Couser when he does something.
To me, it's like uke. Like, whenever it's anything that sounds too close to a boo, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I remember when with Robert Parrish, people would go, chief, and it sort of sounded like boo. They were booing him sometimes.
I understand it's, like, excited, but there's something, it's too close to me. It makes me feel a little uncomfy.
I know, but he knows that they're mooing. Like, he hit a double. He knows they're not booing him. You know, that was a big play in the game. And with Uke, he knew it too. He knew when they weren't booing
him. Of course,
him.
I'm not totally on that bandwagon of moos.
I'll tell you,
mooing it.
I'm not sure it's a great look for women to moo.
Why not?
You know, I don't know. I'm not comfortable enough with myself to be out there like.
I saw a meme that was like, I bet it feels so good
it's
to moo if you're
move.
A cow. Yeah, that was a terrible moo.
What? Okay.
You gotta get more cartoonish.
Let me get the body into it.
Yeah. Go from your diaphragm. That was worse than the first one.
It turns into a growl.
Yeah, you know what, Mega? Mooing's not for you.
My dog moves a lot.
Your dog moves. That makes
like
sense.
Cujo.
Yeah, that was
giant angry dog.
You know what else was uncool about last night, along with the mooing, was
that's what I sounded like.
That's not what that sounded like. Zach Eflin, who has been so nasty with Baltimore ever since he got there. I mean, the guy, every time I see him, he's shutting somebody down. I think he's got a perfect record and like an ERA in the low twos since he went to Baltimore. And I see that, and I see what, you know, the Red Sox are doing with Rich Hill, and it's just, you know, like I was higher on James Paxton than you guys were for sure. And that was a move that did not, I mean, he had that one good start. He had a good start against Kansas City. He had a decent decent start in his first one. He had those errors and everything. It was only 3 earned runs. And now he's injured because, of course, he is. He's 36, and he'd played the entire year.
Don't worry, you have a 44-year-old.
Now you're bringing in a 44-year-old. And that, to me, is like, all right, even if you thought, I thought Paxton was not satisfactory in terms of addressing the starting rotation. I thought it was a decent patch, but you had to really do something else if you wanted to elevate this team up to the level of the Orioles and the Yankees and the Twins and these other teams you're competing with. That's all. I mean, I think that's a reasonable thing to want for your front office to do with the deadline. And they got a couple of relievers, which tided us over. But, you know, look at what Baltimore did. Look what Baltimore's been doing. They got Burns going tonight. It's another guy you could have had. I just feel like, you know, there's other teams out there that are more serious than you. And that's really coming home to roost right now as you play these good teams, as you play the Astros, who kicked your ass, as you play, you know, Baltimore, who's been ahead of you all year. These other teams who took it seriously in the offseason, took it seriously at the deadline, knew that they were going to be in a dogfight and really committed to making themselves better. While you're sitting here waiting around and picking old guys up off the scrap heap, I mean, that's the main difference. And I think it's one that really stood out in a stark contrast last night. And Pivetta wasn't bad. I mean, he didn't have a bad start. But, you know, that's a team that's been leading this division and really leading the AL for in a lot of ways for a good chunk of this year. And you saw it last night. I mean, it was on display, full display. And I know most people didn't even watch that game last night, but really it was clear who the better team was.
You know what it makes me think of is that scene from one of our favorite shows, Succession, when Logan Roy is talking to his children and he says, "I love you, but you're not serious people."
Yeah, in that club or whatever.
And that's how I feel about the Red Sox. You said it. They're not serious. These other teams are serious about the rest of their season. And the Orioles were dealing with a bunch of injuries. That's why they went out and got Eflin. And you look at what they've been doing. You pointed out Corbin Burns. I was asking for the Red Sox to get Corbin Burns like a year plus ago. And it's just a collection of guys out there who you turn your nose up to because they want a little bit of money or they want a little bit of investment. And you go, no. That might get us to like $190 million on the payroll. And that's you're getting close to $200 million. We can't be up there right now. And I just wonder if, obviously nothing can change this year. Is anything going to change in the offseason when you have the promise of the golden trifecta, like the Holy Trinity coming out of Worcester?
Is that a promise that the next year? I mean, one of them, Anthony's 19, isn't he? Like, you know, or he just turned 20. Like, I don't think it's...
Baltimore brings up freaking...
I know. Baltimore's doing a lot of things you're not doing is the point. But, like, I don't know for sure that they're all coming up next year. Yeah, they're mooing.
They're mooing. They got 18-year-olds. I mean, come on. You could have this fun stuff at Fenway.
Buster Olney just tweeted this out. The Red Sox have averaged 6 runs per game since the All-Star break. Great, right? Hey, good job, Red Sox. 6 runs per
game.
What
else is happening?
Wow, they must have really been killing it here. Oh, wait a minute, though. They have a record of 10-15, and their staff ERA is 5.99. They're averaging 6 runs. That's almost impossible.
You're almost breaking even.
You're going to win some baseball games.
Jesus. Their staff ERA is 29th of the 30 teams in the majors. Only the... Guess which team is worse? Do you know which team is worse, Mango? Did you see it yet?
Sorry.
Have you looked at this?
I was reading. Somebody was saying I sounded more like a moose than a cow.
I don't
even know the sound that a moose makes.
I don't know what a moose sounds either, but I think that's
like,
still true.
Do deer make sound? No.
Louis C.K. would say yes. Okay. He has a whole bit about the deer and the sound and what he called the deer after he hit the deer.
Let's not do that.
We don't need to talk about him, right?
What were you
asking? The Red Sox ERA since the All-Star break is 29th to 30. White Sox are the one team that's worse. And they are only worse by 1/100th of an earned run. Their earned run average is 6.
That
could change tonight. 5.99. You could jump into last place in that statistic tonight. You know, God willing here, of course. 617-779-7937. It's not all bad news. Not all bad news.
Is there a moose in the studio?
I think so.
That's what I think. It's like got to be more at the top of the throat. Like,
I can't do it either. My son can do it pretty well.
I got it there. Did you hear that?
Let's hear it again. You did not get it there.
That's what it sounds like.
I don't know what that is.
That's a moo.
That is not a moo.
That is a moo.
If my son was here,
play that moo and then play the realistic moo, and you can't tell the difference.
Moo. It's not. It's not a good moo. I was just going to say something. I had a great joke. I had a real zinger, and now I can't remember what it is.
Do you want to go to Relationship Roundtable? And on the other side, maybe you'll remember.
More than I want to take my next breath.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
I had a professor who told me you should go to grad school. And now here I am many years later mooing on the
professor's
radio.
Professor's
clueless. Twitch chat is reacting. Sounds more like a wolf than a cow, says Stash and Beard of Sir Gresh. Also sounds like animal porn. Sounds like that cow is in pain.
Well, why do you know what that sounds like?
I don't know.
You're comparing it to something. That means that you know what to compare it to.
I mean, animal porn is sort of a nebulous term for it. If you watch, you know, if you're just in nature.
Just call that nature.
You're going to see animals being animals. You know, it's not necessarily porn unless you're into it.
So we all have the Discovery
I think if
channel.
You're discussing porn, then there's a suggestion of a human element, which I totally disagree with.
That is not animal porn. That's a bestiality, I believe, is what we call that.
Anyways.
In the streets.
Well.
And now here's Relationship Roundtable.
Relationship Roundtable. So helpful.
That was me, right?
Yeah.
That was me.
100%.
A couple minutes ago. So if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is a segment during the week in which I put out the call on my Instagram handle at megawaffles22 with 1G. And I asked, does anybody need love life advice? And I got this one a couple days ago. This is probably the most detailed relationship roundtable question we've ever had.
That's a scary setup for it.
Okay. So
like, I'm terrified of this.
I'm going to call this person C because they gave me their real name and I told them I'm going to keep this anonymous. I don't know this person.
My wife's name starts with a C.
Okay. Well, it's not you.
Okay, good.
Unless she has an ex-wife.
Nope. Don't think so.
Okay. So C says, my ex-wife from over 25 years of marriage recently hit me up with a divorce. A year later, we have become very close. We've been getting along unbelievably well.
Hold on. That was confusing the way you just set that
so
up.
So
they were married for 25 years and she just divorced him.
She divorced him like a year ago.
After 25 years. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Now, a year later, we've become very close. We've been getting along unbelievably well. We now do more things together than ever before, but I do give more than I receive. I help out a lot. Recently, I moved to a new place. She was helping me clean the place up. I get along with my new landlord. He's a friend. But our situation got sour when they exchanged information behind my back. 2 weeks later, they went on dates. I discovered they have been intimate. I know we are divorced, but for some reason, I feel fired up and disrespected. The last few days, this has been eating me up. I'm thinking about how I'm going to confront them. I am going to bring them to my apartment and go to the shared backyard where he usually hangs out and then have a nonviolent confrontation. My thought is, do I confront her first and then him?
I mean, listen.
There's a lot to unpack.
So first
here.
Of all, she's using him to meet guys, right? Now that they're divorced, she's using the ex-husband, the guy who wrote to you, to meet other people.
C, we're calling him.
Right? C is now her vessel into the world of other guys to date. And it just so happens this first one happens to be a landlord. So that's, you know, they hit it off. They exchange numbers. When he says they're like back together, does he mean they're back to like they're dating again, or
he
that they're just like helping each other clean their apartments? Like, that's not
it
that part's
sounds
not
like
clear.
They have a friendship.
Okay.
And I have heard of this happening before where you split up, and since you're no longer under the pressure of living together and mm-hmm. being a functional couple day in and day out, like, you hang out. I've seen this happen with one of my friend's parents who got divorced 30 years ago, and now they're friends.
Okay.
Now they hang out. We don't know what else they do. I tell her, I'm like, yo, they're definitely, something's going on there.
All right. See, you have two options here. This is how I see it anyway. You have two options here. The first option is you were married to this woman for 25 years. You have to know women in her life that she doesn't like, that she would be really annoyed if you started dating. And you date one of them.
Oh, we're starting with spite.
You start with spite, yes. Okay, so you start with spite. That's option one. Then if that works out, you know, if you ask out the enemy or whatever, and then they agree to go out with you, obviously everything's got to be consensual and above board here, then you bring her over, and every time that you see the wife or anytime you see the landlord, she's there, and that's a whole thing, and in your face now, you're up in the situation. If you try that and it doesn't work out, you have to move. Like, you have to move out of that apartment. Sorry, you want to bang the landlord? Great. I'm not going to live here next to it. I'm going to go live somewhere else. Sublet the place. Do whatever you got to do, but get the hell out of there and don't look back. That's my advice.
Let me ask you guys.
But the first option is to try and hook up with one of her enemies.
To back up a little bit, though, like, I understand that he probably has still, like, some very deep-seated emotions and feelings for this woman. Mm-hmm. They were married for 25 years.
Megan, you said that she divorced him. It wasn't.
Yes, she served him with a divorce.
Okay. Right. Continue, please.
So I wonder, are you really in a situation where you want to be friends with your ex? Because she served you with a divorce.
Not if she's banging the landlord.
I don't know if you guys have kids, but you're getting along together extremely well. It sounds like you're spending a lot of time together. It sounds like you're not moving on. Like, if she is, maybe this wasn't a planned thing and she just happened to really hit it off with your landlord and now they're actually, like, something's real is developing there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter. Like, to me, it's more like, I think the issue is, it's a nice idea, especially if you have kids, if you guys can remain friends, but this was just a year later. Like, you got to be on your own path. You can't be helping her out around her new house and she comes over and is helping you decorate the walls in your house. Like, you guys are on your own now.
You're going to be doing something in the walls in the next unit over there, it sounds like. So wait a minute. Does the landlord live in the house, too?
They
said shared backyard.
Yeah, shared backyard?
They said
so it's like a two-family, basically?
He hangs out in the backyard. And here's the other thing I'd say. I mean,
I would not confront them either, by the way. I would not do that. I think there's no way to do that and end up looking good. You have to either get the spite relationship going or you just move and do it. Otherwise, you know, so what? You're going to make some big speech and all of a sudden she's going to leave with you and not going to bang the landlord anymore? Like, I don't think that's a smart move.
I think what I would do is confront her. I don't think you need, look, the landlord, maybe if he's your friend, you think what he did was scummy, crummy, then that's, I understand. But you are renting an apartment and I have no idea what your lease situation is.
Right.
I would go to her and
it's like written into the lease if your ex-wife comes
just
over.
Just say, like, this has been a really nice time that we've been able to be friends, but I can't have you, like, with these different levels of drama in my life. Because also, I don't know, maybe then if you cut it off with her and you move on, assuming you don't have kids, and then she dumps the landlord, then you and the landlord can hang out and talk crap about her.
I guess. I mean, you're still going to have to talk to the guy who you know your wife was doing. I don't know. I just haven't.
It's like you're at work all day, then you come home and you see her car's in the driveway too.
Oh, yeah.
And
forget it.
It's just, it's always going to be there when you're finally done. And depending on what day you're having, it's always going to be this reminder. Like, I think the real answer, spite withstanding, is to get out of that apartment because you're just going to constantly be reminded of how miserable this is making you feel.
Yeah, or just go like real, you know, like get real scuzzy.
Like a confrontation is probably going to come out no matter what because
no, you're just bringing home whoever every night. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like you're going way out there.
I don't think that has the effect that men think it has.
It does in the sense that
the
women are going to be like, well, okay, now I see what it's like.
She served a divorce and she's clearly moved on.
Right. But she also thinks that he's just going to be there waiting for her all the time, too, it seems like. You know, she has him coming over and cleaning the apartment and everything. So I don't know. I mean, it seems like she feels like she has him wrapped around her finger. So you have to establish that that's not the case. And it's better to do it with someone you know she doesn't like, I think. Just to sort of hammer it home a little bit. But either way, spite or not, I think Ryan's right. I think that this whole living situation is something you got to get out of.
Yeah, but then, look, if you don't have kids, then you need some serious time apart. Like, don't hang out. She's not your friend. She's your ex-wife. And she's clearly moving on. And it seems like you're having a difficult time moving on while she's still in your life. If you do have kids, then friends, but maybe you guys need to talk about boundaries in a different way because, again, it sounds like you're still putting yourself in a bad situation.
Does she have a sister?
Well, Urban Surf 401, I think, has the answer, and that is bang her mom.
Oh.
That's also, I think, the advice Mike Adams would give if he was here right now.
Yeah.
Miss that guy.
You would have led with that.
He definitely would have.
If you were married for 25 years, is mom still around?
Probably not, but, you know, you never know.
Then there's another layer to that.
Gross. All right, what else we got?
Necromancy, yes.
This is a very short one. This is from Cal. My girlfriend always puts her phone face down. Should I assume she's hiding something?
Always.
Probably.
Really?
It's always face down. I mean, she could just turn her notifications off. You know, like
so. I put my phone face down sometimes as a sign of respect, of like I'm not looking at my phone.
Yeah. Okay.
While I'm talking to you, and a lot of times I'll just put my phone away completely. But sometimes, like if my husband comes over to me and I'm doom scrolling and starts talking to me, sometimes by habit I'll just turn my phone over to show him that I'm not like. Because I'm ADHD, you know. I'm right. Not like glancing over at my phone while he's talking to me because something's popping up on the phone.
Yeah, my wife's just on like TikTok all the time. So, if she is there talking to somebody, she's very, very slick about it. But she doesn't, you know, like if you're putting the phone, you're like, oh, I'm flipping it over. Now, I have a phone with one of these cases on it. So I sort of have
like a little wallet
built-in excuse. Yeah, right. Like there's a little thing.
I don't
for your
like that. It's too
stuff.
Much on the phone.
I like it. I like having it. I feel like it makes me look.
But you
like
can hide all your deep dark secrets.
That too, and also no one's looking at my phone ever. You know, like I don't want people looking at my phone. You know. It's
now, what? How would you feel if your wife got one of those privacy screens on her phone?
What's that?
You've never seen that where people have the phone protector.
It like blacks out from different
so
angles.
When you look at it from the side, you can't see it unless you're looking at it like head on.
I wouldn't
otherwise
care if she got
it
that.
Looks like tinted sunglasses.
I'm not
almost.
Trying to look on her phone. Like, what do I want to look
you
at her phone
for? You know who has one of those?
Who?
Evan Drellick.
Is he really?
Yeah. I was sitting next to him in
where
the bar.
Where his core is looking at
and
his
I was
phone?
Like, why do you got you that on your phone? And he was like, I just need
like,
people
why
to
looking
respect
at my, phone,
my privacy.
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Evan was a big hit at that wedding, I'll tell you.
April 26, 1992. There was a riot on the streets. Tell me where. Oh, it's a great song.
I hope he wasn't singing that.
That's a great song.
Yeah, that's not a great song.
I like that. I like the bass line. That bass line's good. I don't know if it's a great song, though.
It's a dark time.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. That's Relationship Roundtable.
All right, there you go. Another edition of Relationship Roundtable.
I like that detailed one. I want more detail.
Because couples therapy is expensive.
I want to know what happens with that guy. I want to follow
like,
up.
Like, that's
see,
what I'm saying. I'm worried I'm worried the confrontation already happened, so.
No, he probably saved it for, like, Saturday or Sunday. Like, it's a weekend, yeah. You know, that's when you have a confrontation in the yard.
Trying to move into his apartment.
Yeah.
Get some liquid courage.
Yeah.
Careful there.
Tough. Just, you know, keep it nonviolent. That's all we ask. Or don't, whatever. I don't know this guy. Who cares? There you go. All right, 617.
Keep it nonviolent.
779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll make some bets in Bet Roulette next.
You're listening to Jones and Mega on WEEI. Asking the questions that you need answered.
How does this bra work again? Why are there so many clasps?
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
I don't know if you can, but can you get an order for ONS? That's ONS Junior Market. The address is 1934 East Anaheim. All the windows are busted out, and it's like a free-for-all here, and the owner should be to come down here and see if he can secure his business if he wants to.
Is that Evan Drellick's music?
I think it is. By the way, you know that first line's wrong? He says April 26th. It was April 29th when the riot started. And that's the name of the song, too. He just said it wrong in the first take, but it was a good take, and they kept it, and that was it. But it was the wrong date.
Well, you know that
story?
Little
trivia factoid about that. Do I know the story?
Yeah, no, why do you know that?
I just know that. Well, the name of the song is April 29th,
no,
and he
I
says April 26th.
I guess I never thought about this.
And I looked
things.
Up why it says that, and it just says he said the wrong day.
Oh, you just looked it up.
No, I knew that already. I already knew that. But
well
I also
done
knew it was
you.
The wrong one. Hey, listen.
I was a big Sublime fan back in the day.
If you were a certain age, I mean, then people lie like they never liked Sublime,
of
but obviously
I
people
liked
did.
Sublime.
Yeah.
40 Ounces to Freedom? I probably have that entire stupid CD memorized.
I remember WBCN playing the first, I don't even want to say it out loud, but the first single from that album. Remember?
Yes.
Oh.
And
yeah.
That song became a big hit, despite what it was about.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. This might be their best song.
I mean, it's kind of about retribution, isn't it?
It is, yes.
So.
Yeah.
It's not a very nice name of a song.
I would say
but.
It's not. Let's, before we get to Bet Roulette here, talk to Mark in Connecticut, who wants to say something about the Patriots O-line. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Jones. I've been to several Jones. Practices at training camp. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been, you know, I've seen the preseason stuff. We have got a severe problem at mainly the left tackle position, but both tackle positions, really. And we have yet to address this. I would say we're going on 4 or 5 years, the post-Brady era. I mean, Trent Brown was okay when he wanted to play. But other than that, they have not addressed the tackle position. They've drafted guards after guards after guards. And why aren't we protecting our quarterback with the second most important position, which is your left tackle, your blind side? Jones, can you get some kind of info on this? Why we're not?
Yeah, Jones, what's going
on
there?
Jones.
What's going on with that? Jones, Jones, you have an answer?
Wow!
I agree. They don't have a left tackle, but what are they supposed to do about it?
Spit in my mouth.
Okay. Well.
It's like people are just waking up to this by the play of Vedarian Lowe. We've been talking about this for years.
Yes, we have. And, you know, not to say we took Trent Brown for granted here or anything, but maybe we kind of did just because.
Please don't say that so close to the toilets in the building.
You're looking at a situation here where we're going to be pining for the days of those broken toilets and those specially made ones that I'm sure he had to do, which made him late for the meetings, which made him all angry all the time. And then he probably had angry poops after that that just, you know, stunk up the whole hallway.
Does anybody want to hold the snake?
Kind of shaped like.
That's okay. Let's get the bet roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer.
Why is that a drop?
You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boom! Boom! That's it! Gambling!
All right, it's time for Bet Roulette, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
Juicy.
Donate your car today. All right. Last time we had a bet roulette seems like it was a while ago.
Well,
Monday?
Before the Jimmy Fund.
Was it Monday?
It was Monday, and it hit.
Hey!
Mego had the Twins money line. Jones had the Bayo over 4.5 strikeouts. Arcan had Sox Rangers over 9. It was 9.
It was 9 exactly. Push. So that's a point that counts.
But it still wins.
That'll get you a win on the app. So there you go. All right. We got 6 new potential bets today. And let's start it off with Mego.
Okay,
go ahead and roll.
I got a 4.
That is the total runs the Red Sox score tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. It is Corbin Burns on the mound for Baltimore, by the way. And the over-under for total runs for the Red Sox is 3.5.
Ooh,
low. Very low.
Very low. Sorry, guys. I'm taking the under.
Ooh.
I know.
Under 3.5.
Is it juicy on the under?
The under, I think, is -104, and the over is like -125. So there's no real juicy on either one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the juicier of the less juicy.
Thank you, John.
And it's because I'm an Orioles fan, so screw.
All right, here we go. My roll is a 2, and that is the over-under and total runs in the game tonight, both teams, and that over-under is 8.5. I got to check and see what the juice is for that one. But either way, with Burns going against it's Bernardino opening for Criswell is going to come in later. I mean, listen, Criswell's been good lately, so I think that you could keep this one to under 8.5. I think you're going to have trouble scoring runs off of Burns. It's all lefties in the lineup tonight. Tristan Cass, the first 4 hitters are all lefties against Burns there. So I'm going to say under 8.5. I'm going to say it goes under 8.5. All right, I'm going to roll for Ryan. His roll is a 5, and that is the Twins and the Rangers tonight. Simeon Woods Richardson going for Minnesota. Andrew Haney for the Rangers. Pick him, Ryan. What do you say?
Give me the Twins. Give me
taking the Twinkies.
Plus money.
The Twins are the underdog. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's why they're on plus money.
That's right. I didn't realize that. All right. So
save the value of this parlay.
Ryan likes the Twins. I like under 8.5 runs for the Red Sox and Orioles. Mego likes under 3.5 total runs for the Red Sox.
It's a bold move.
What do you say, Ryan? What is it?
+404.
+404. Modest.
Okay, it's a little safe.
A modest bet, but it'll get you some money if we hit again. Which we just did almost a week ago. Which was the last time we did this. Stick around. John Lyons, I just saw in the house. He will have you for about 4 minutes, and then it is time for the Red Sox and the Orioles. That's coming your way right afterwards with the pregame show, also with John Lyons. We're out of here. Talk to you on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Goodbye.
That's the pumpkin market.
You would see the greatest gift for me.
I don't know this song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
Excuse me.
Having some ice cream with Jose Iglesias?
Yeah.
We had tequila.
It is. Excuse me.
Tequila.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.